If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hi guys, I'm Katie Lowes, actress, mom, and host of the parenting podcast, Katie's Crib. A show that helps women navigate the colossal changes that come with motherhood. You'll hear from resilient mamas, knowledgeable experts, and me asking a whole lot of questions. It's real talk that offers real perspective on what it's really like to be a parent. New episodes publish every other Thursday. Listen to Katie's Crib on the iHeartRadio app or on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to open your hearts and loosen your butts.
It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
I'm Naomi.
And we are a real-life couple, comedians, and on our show, we take the best sets from our live show, Couples Therapy, where stand-ups who are close do sets together about their relationship and bring them to you. Sometimes we have people in the studio. This is one of those times, Naomi.
Ooh, we get in deep and we have some fun. But first, just wanted to remind you guys, as always, our live show is the first Saturday of every month here in Los Angeles at the Virgil. And if you want to get tickets, if you want to see lineups, you can go to couplestherapypod.com. While you're there, you can also click on our Patreon, a brand spanking new Patreon, where we offer you two bonus episodes each month. You want more Andy and Naomi? But then there you go, BB.
You want us in your ears, right? In your lives, in your hearts?
Honestly, if you're hearing it now, I think the answer is yes. And if you would like relationship advice, platonic and romantic, from two unlicensed comedians, give us a call on our call-in line. That number is 323-524-7839. Again, 323-524-7839.
And you know what? You can always get that number from couplestherapypod.com. And it's also, I put in our Twitter bio, Naomi.
Wow, Andy. I love when you update the socials. And if you want to check those out.
Do you feel closer to me?
Always. If you want to check those out, we are on Twitter at Naomi and Andy, on Instagram at Couples Therapy Pod. Individually, I am at Blacktress, and my betrothed is at Andy Beckerman. So honestly,
that's me.
So many ways to reach out and touch some bitches. So do it up.
I am so excited about this episode.
I know.
As you know, I got my start in comedy doing sketch.
Yes.
That's where it goes back to my love of sketch always. And so today we got Dave Foley and Paul Greenberg.
Woo, baby.
Now they have a podcast together.
Yes.
Called Don't Say ... with Paul and Dave.
Yes.
And you can get that on iTunes and lots of other places. Where they wrote down the URL here is www.don'tsaywithpaulanddave, and is written out, by the way, not an ampersand.
Yes. Oh, you can't put an ampersand in a URL. These guys were born yesterday.
So if you don't know who Paul and Dave are, though, you know Dave Foley, perhaps from the Kids of the Hall, legendary sketch group, news radio, Dr. Ken most recently, I think. A lot of other stuff, too.
Yeah.
You can go on their IMDBs and check out all that. I'm giving you some highlights.
Dave Foley, stay work.
Paul Greenberg is an Emmy-winning writer and performer.
Love
and it. And he first came into my heart through his sketch group, The Vacant Lot, which had a show on Comedy Central in the 90s. And also, you may know him. I will know him also from the Jenny McCarthy sketch show. Naomi, did you know the Jenny McCarthy's sketch show, like Bob Odenkirk and John Glazer and John Benjamin wrote for it?
I did, because we were at home, and when you found out, you screamed, "What?" And then I came into the room thinking something had happened, and no, it was just you discovering the writing staff for the Jenny McCarthy show. So, yes, correct, I am fully aware.
And Reno 911 and a lot of other stuff. And on today's episode, we'll get into how their friendship bloomed in the Toronto sketch scene of the early 80s, and a lot more stuff.
And how they are total brosifs now.
Yeah, they're like brosifs.
Well, really, honestly, what I want to say is soul sisters. So, honestly, it was three white dudes doing bits, and I was kind of hanging out. It's a wonderful, dope conversation. So, give it a listen, y'all.
Roll it.
Ooh, I love those smooth NPR vibes.
Yeah. I know. We're very sophisticated.
Yes.
Is it?
Because we're Canadian.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's some way to figure out something deeper from the way people say that line. Because we don't give any direction.
Oh. Right.
So some people do it in an NPR vibe. Some people do it in a raucous
right
kind of morning zoo crew.
I'm trying to give the feeling that I'm a terrible actor.
I'd have done more of a morning zoo, but I forgot to bring my noisemakers.
You do a good morning zoo character.
I forgot to bring my Auga machine.
That does that has like 1920s horn
yeah,
sounds.
That's all it is.
But it
I was a morning DJ in the 1920s.
But it just sounds like you saying Auga, which is weird. Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
We got another great Edison wax cylinder for you.
Yeah. Coming up. Funny skidoo, listeners. Welcome to the morning zoo.
The newest cut from the jazz singer.
Yeah.
And I always just sound like a lady doing a cooking show.
I'm soothed by you. That's soothing. I need that.
I know.
Yeah.
It's all I can do to not fall asleep when I hear myself.
Yeah.
Andy, you want to break it down?
Guys, you've been friends for
30 years
going back to Toronto?
Yes.
Question mark?
Going all the way back to Toronto.
Yes. We're both Torontonians.
Yeah.
Were you friends? At what point did you become friends? Teenagers in your 20s? Where?
20s. We were in our 20s, yeah. I guess, right? I was in my early 20s.
Dave was in a little-known group called the Kids in the Hall.
Yeah, and Paul was in an even lesser-known group called the Vacant Lot.
That's right.
Actually, before that, you were in Riot.
Oh, my God, yeah. I went to Ryerson Polytechnical Institute in Toronto, and that's where I met my troupe, but we had a school show there.
A review, much like Riot. The Footlights Theater in Cambridge.
And this is when the Kids in the Hall were just starting to play the Rivoli, really.
Yeah,
and,
we had a following in Queen Street.
That's right. And we were there, you played every Monday.
Every Monday
I believe.
Night. Yeah.
And the director of the show and myself came down and saw a show. And probably 1984,
I guess 83 probably. 83, yeah, 83.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
84. Was
1884.
Yeah. Oh, so you guys are like vampires.
Yeah.
And we were
I have a portrait.
We were drawing an audience of almost 200 people a week.
It was
which gave us the power to lord it over you.
Oh God, you still do it.
Yeah.
I know, I like it though. Is that weird? Is it bad that I like it?
No. It's but, just in your nature.
But we knew each other from back then, and then both, Dave came to L.A. To do news radio, right?
Yep, in 95.
95, and I came in 96 to watch news radio.
Yeah. After several years, I had to explain to Paul that wasn't a paying gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when the checks never came, I figured that out eventually.
And you kept asking me about it.
Yeah.
And I had to say, well, kind of.
But I watched every show, Dave. And
yeah.
I was angry, remember?
But but then so did a bunch of.
Then I had to figure out ways to make money.
So did a bunch of people from a nursing home.
That's right.
That came in every week.
I played a show like that once in Ottawa where they bust in a mental hospital.
What?
Yeah. As our
Wait
audience.
A minute. Just the patients.
Just the patients.
They didn't bust in the whole hospital.
It was the patients.
They didn't bring in the equipment, the walls, and everything.
It was called the Canadian Comedy Ensemble.
Yeah.
I was in it with Debbie Thaker and Norm Hiscock,
yeah,
your
good
friends.
People. Mm-hmm. Very funny people.
And when the lights came up, it was a bunch of patients.
Yeah.
In the audience. They didn't tell us. And
they were
and by the way, we were a hit.
No, you were not.
Did they react?
Yes. Oh, yeah, they loved the show. They thought it was the
what
best.
Level of mental patient are we talking about?
Well, like, I knew when they loved the show that they must be mental patients.
Yeah.
But we're like, obviously not like raving schizophrenics.
No,
just sort of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest crazy, right?
Calm. Like Martini. Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friendly. Very nice people.
A lot of exaggerated stammering. and overacting.
Right. Like the guy
that's how crazy people act. They act like bad actors.
Yeah.
That's right. That's how you know someone's crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the guy from Taxi.
Yeah.
You guys have fun together. And that's what I like most, you know, after all these years. Just to find a goof.
We do have
among friends. But now when you guys
that's
are starting.
That's the important thing. That's what keeps a relationship alive.
Right?
Is being able to laugh.
At what?
At the weaker member of the couple.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there a power dynamic?
Oh, yes.
In everything.
Yeah.
That's what I learned from Bruce McCullough.
Sorry. I know history, so I laugh at that.
Yeah.
I laugh hard at that.
You know, for example, if you've read Machiavelli's The Prince, then you already know that you are an asshole. That goes out to everyone out there who's read Machiavelli's The Prince.
Hands up.
Look in a mirror. You're looking at an asshole.
Just read it. I feel like the person that quotes it at you.
Oh, yeah.
That's the real asshole.
That's someone you can just delete from your address book immediately.
Yeah. Delete from your phone. Delete from your life.
You know what Machiavelli says. This is every character.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I like this voice. Yeah, that's a good voice. Yeah.
Hey, it's a bit raspy.
Just to clarify, it's end justifies the means, correct? Is that what we're talking about here? Is that Machiavellian? Because I learned that in school.
I didn't read it. I'm a nice guy.
Oh, that makes me an asshole.
Yeah.
Then. I fell for it.
I had to read it for a sketch I once wrote, and that's the only time. So I feel like that's justified.
No, that's worse.
Yeah.
What sketch required Machiavelli? Nope.
It was a sketch about Karl Rove.
Seems to me like you were waiting for an excuse to read Machiavelli.
Yeah, thank you.
And this presented itself, and you jumped into it whole hog, I'm guessing.
Hey, everyone, I got a great idea for a sketch, but we have to read Machiavelli for
yeah.
it.
You know what?
That sounds like the worst
Jim
trip
Morrison
to be in.
Impression. Yeah. That was a good Jim Morrison.
It was.
Yeah.
Now, Jim Morrison now in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's still alive. Oh, let him. Don't let him fool
don't
you.
Don't let people tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's a Republican.
Wow. Yes. Truthers up in here. Yeah. We're getting
shocking.
To the bottom of some shit.
Wait, Naomi, you were about to say something.
Well, I was going to ask about, like, you know, again, like, take me back to 84.
Okay.
The Kings of Queen Street.
Well,
were you guys?
We
the
were,
Kings of Queen Street.
We were.
Lady Di was still alive.
She was.
But was there any, like, worth
Max
people
Hedron
were debating
was a big thing.
Prince or Michael Jackson?
Right.
Those are the issues of the day.
Yeah, that's all we cared about. Yeah.
Now we know the answer to
people
has to be Prince.
All afraid
Prince,
that
yes.
People were all afraid that 1984 might be like 1984.
There
Remember
was
that?
The movie 1984
that's
came
right.
out in 1984.
1985.
Was it 85?
Yeah. It was actually.
I guess the editing was slow.
Yeah.
But yeah, with John Hurt.
Yeah, it came out in 85.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well,
all the way through in 1984, every news article was, are we living in Orwell's 19... Yeah. And it was,
no,
we're not.
Not even a little bit.
No.
I don't have a rat cage on my head.
No. And now ironically, we are.
Yes, this is much closer to the actual 1984 than 1984
it took
was.
Longer than Orwell thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the thing. I just had Scott on my other podcast.
Scotland Thompson?
Yes. His full name, Scotland.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how, like, there's a kind of, like, repression in Canada. I don't know if that... covers you both, if that is a description of your...
Does he mean then or now?
When he was growing up.
Oh, good
yes,
God,
we're like,
yeah.
We're like a British colony, repressed in that way, I think.
Yeah, Canada was very repressed. Especially Toronto was a very boring city back in the 80s.
So boring. It was actually, it had a moniker, which was Toronto the Good.
Yeah.
What?
And I kid you not.
Yeah.
How did anyone ever go there?
That's how boring
the good?
Toronto
the good.
Used to be.
That's all they had to offer, Toronto.
Was there was
good.
Two things. It was Toronto the Good, and it was known as the cleanest city in North America.
Yes.
Oh,
and
God.
We had no, there was no Sunday shopping.
Right? Everything's closed
there
on Sunday.
There was no street life. Sidewalk patios were illegal.
But
hot dog stands were illegal.
But an awesome strip of porno shops and massage parlors along Yonge Street.
Along Yonge Street, yes.
Yeah.
What allowed that to? So how were people kind of like sexually liberated but not emotionally liberated?
Well, they weren't so much liberated because they would wrap themselves entirely in brown paper before going shopping in these porn shops and sex massage parlors.
So the giant paper bag industry was building.
Yeah, and
that
we had
did really
there
well.
There was one gay bar.
Yes, and it was on Church Street.
Yeah, St. Charles,
so
St. Charles
heard.
Tavern. No, there was St. Charles Tavern on Yonge Street.
St. Charles Tavern on Yonge Street, yes. St. Charles Tavern,
but they
correct.
Kept, but they
with,
were,
the tower,
tower,
right?
Yeah,
little
and they were
tower.
Always being raided, constantly
oh,
being
God.
Raided.
Because it was illegal to be gay.
Gay, yes.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
So Scott, you know, Scott comes from...
Yeah, I mean, it's still unfortunate, but it's legal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, girl. Yes. I'm calling you girl. Wow. And oh,
you know,
my God.
You know, she's angry.
Yep.
I'm not having it. But then how did you guys then, at that time, right? I mean, because then it feels like then it's harder to find people. So you were saying, Paul, you met your group in college? Was it college or high school?
It was college. I met my group in college, and we were, you know, inspired to do our thing because the kids in the hall were doing their thing at the Rivoli, this club. And we, as soon as we finished school, started playing that club as well, you know. But it was kind of a booming time for sketch in Toronto, you know.
Yeah.
The kids really were the, you know, the forerunners of all that. And Lauren Michaels, you know, mm-hmm. was producing them. And Lauren Michaels produced the show we had on Comedy Central. But it was a cool time. It almost felt like, I mean, we called it like almost punk rocky. Almost.
Yeah. It was
not like rocky as a punk.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that would be.
No. Because that would, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd look silly. but yeah, it was a time where we're, I guess the first time in Toronto comedy where there was an idea that you could work outside of Second City or sure. the Yuck Yucks comedy chain if you wanted to do comedy.
Yeah, you didn't have to be a stand-up, which mm-hmm. was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were other groups like the Frantics, you know, played before, and they had a TV show, but it kind of went over the border, basically. These guys, the kids in the hall, were accepted by America, which was a huge, huge
God, back when
deal.
We mattered. Back yes. when anyone cared about America's opinion.
You have no
opinion.
Idea.
Who cares about America's opinion now? Jesus.
There's nothing that matters more to Canada than to be accepted
here
by
America.
America. It yes. means States. A lot. It means a lot. You know, Canada's a very small market.
Yes.
You know? It's tiny.
And very small-minded.
Very, very small. Yeah.
But did you guys, the thing I was thinking of was when I started at UCB, and I was
Upright
always...
Citizens Brigade, people.
Mm-hmm. Fill it in. Sorry, they have to know. They have to know.
I was always kind of scared of the people that had been doing it for a while before me. And even now, like, seeing them and we're kind of peers, it still scares me a little bit.
Like, you feel like you're the freshman and they were the cool seniors or
yes.
something. Yeah.
So, like, did you have that kind of relationship when you guys first met?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, we also had a younger brother of one of the kids in the hall in our troop. Mm-hmm. So we felt physically related
yeah,
to them.
That's true. You were cousins.
Did. We felt like we were cousins. And we didn't do the same kind of humor. I mean, we had our own thing, but they, you know, it was great. It was like watching, you know, your big brothers break all this ground, you know, and it was very exciting. It was a super exciting time.
And Paul and his group did guest roles and
we'd show up on the Kids in the Hall every so often. I remember one they had my own name.
Was the bearded lady's wedding?
Yes, chicken bearded lady. We were the bearded ladies.
Cousins, sisters.
We were the sisters.
Yeah.
And we did I remember I did one that you guys wrote, and I got to use my own name. I came on and hey, look, it's Paul Greenberg or something.
Yeah.
And I told you the story just before I was about to go on to do my bit. Bruce pushed me out too early and told me and yelled and said, "Don't fuck it up." And pushed me on camera too early.
Good.
It was a tough spot quiz.
Which kid in the hall do you think read Machiavelli's The Prince?
I do remember him doing that though. It was like, oh well, there goes that sketch. But it was great. I mean, they were figuring out their thing, and we were in the wake of it, also figuring it out, our own kind of path, and it was a very exciting time.
But everyone was nice to each other. That's the difference. I feel like you don't, I mean, I don't know, because I'm a stand-up, so maybe we're just all cutthroat and evil. But it always feels like people are like, it's like, well, if I'm up there, I'm trying to secure me, and I can't even help you or think about, you know, the group behind me, especially if they're remotely similar.
Yeah, I think most of the kids in the hall's brutality was reserved for each other.
Okay, yes. Inward.
Yeah. We're horrible to each other. But
it's nice to see that's changed.
Yeah.
Is that why your friendship might work a little better? Because you're in different sketch groups. You're not in whatever that brutality is that turned inward doesn't get turned to your friendships.
Well, we've done nothing to ruin each other's lives.
Right. No, right. No, that day is yet to come.
Yeah,
but I also think that I can't speak for Dave.
You can if you like. I'm
okay,
tired.
Okay, I'll speak for Dave.
Oh, wow,
is huge. We have kind of a pragmatic approach to, you know, kind of a more normal approach, business and fun and do this. And there was not as much baggage, I don't think. And, you know, I've always, you know, Dave to me was always the one guy who was like, he looked at it like a normal person. It's like a business. You know, he does a sketch show, does a sitcom, does, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was not a lot of personal stuff involved in it, you know.
Yeah.
And I've always felt that way too. It's like, let's just do a show. Why does it all have to be so complicated?
You know? Yeah. But how did moving, or if at all, you know, you said, Dave, you got to LA in 95.
Yes.
Paul, you rolled up a year later. Mm-hmm. You were like, let's see what happens. Yeah. Did moving here change any of that for both of you? You know what I mean? Like, as you said, like, it's like, it was work. You do your thing, you do what you have to do. I'm asking that as, like, Andy and I moved to L.A., and I think it's made us mentally ill.
Yeah.
It's been a year and a half. This city will really twist up your brain holes.
I found L.A. to be such a cleansing place to be.
I
such
agree.
A relief after Toronto.
Really?
Oh, much. Yeah, yeah, I found L.A. to be a much more positive place to be than Toronto.
But the city
I'm
of good. I know the city of good or the good, the greater good, the good,
yeah,
whatever.
No,
Toronto, the good.
I got to LA and found a whole community of people that were really happy when something good happened for someone else.
Okay.
And that's never happened in Canada.
No.
And like literally, I mean, you'd get a job and people would go, oh, that's great, congratulations, and be genuinely happy for you. And you know, and I fell into like the Largo scene back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And everyone there was like this great group of really, really smart comedians that I thought, oh, these guys are all great. And I thought, you know, and I'd go back home to Canada and tell the other kids about the scene in L.A. And, you know, they didn't believe me. I kept saying, there's people there that are as good or better than us.
Yeah, we were, I mean, it was a cleansing. You said cleansing, and I think that's the perfect word for it. It felt like you could relax and not worry about you know, people sending daggers your way if something good happened.
Yeah. Canada as a country is great, but Canada as a place to do show business is awful. It's just very, it's very cutthroat.
Like I've said before, it's great on paper.
Yeah.
So did your friendship change, though, when you moved to Los Angeles? Do you think
I think we got to know each other better.
We got to know. I think in the past. Yeah. Even the past 10 years, we got to know each other a lot better, too. Our wives are best friends.
Yeah.
Were they friends before or after you guys? Like, they met, meaning, like, did they know each other?
I knew Paul and his wife, Jackie, before my wife.
Oh, okay.
But I came down to L.A. They were, I met my wife in a show that Paul and Jackie were in called White Trash Wins Lotto.
Right.
So I knew Paul and Jackie before I knew them.
Yeah.
So I went to see them in this show, and Paul F. Tompkins was in it.
They're on the podcast with us. Yeah. Yeah. Jackie Harris Greenberg and Chrissy Guerrero.
Yeah, and a bunch of other comedians' friends were all in this show, and that's where I met my wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but I think that...
but, I mean, we started, you know, I think...
Being friends as couples added
being friends
a new
with,
layer.
That was even more fun and, you know, vacation together and stuff like that, and...
And then my wife and I split up, and Paul and Jackie wouldn't talk to me for 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay, we are definitely taking a break on that and coming back and getting into it.
We'll be right back.
Hey, guys, it's Bobby Bones. I host The Bobby Bones Show, and I'm pretty much always sleepy because I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. A couple hours later, I get all my friends together, and we get into a room, and we do a radio show. We share our lives, we tell our stories, we try to find as much good in the world as we possibly can, and we look through the news of the day that you'll care about. Also, your favorite country artists are always stopping by to hang out and share their lives and music too. So wake up with a bunch of my friends on Big 104.7 in Pittsburgh, or wherever the road takes you on the iHeartRadio app.
And we're right back.
Okay, before that breaky break.
That break was exhausting.
Really short.
I didn't know we were going to have to do so many chores.
Yeah. Sorry I was in the bathroom so long.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I was in the bathroom so long?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's truly unfortunate, but
it's...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Dear listeners, hello! Andy here again with an ad read. Wait, Andy, not Naomi, is doing this? You might be asking yourself. And I'm going to tell you why, because today I'm talking to you about Storyworth. If your parents, if your family are anything like mine, they are wonderful people. But also they are, maybe, a bit repressed. And not really forthcoming with details about their lives, their feelings. You know, they're just tight-lipped about everything except the weather or what's for dinner. And that's why I love Storyworth. Over the course of a year, every week, Storyworth emails your loved ones a thought-provoking question. Things like, what were your next-door neighbors like when you were a child? What would you change about your childhood? Did you have a favorite teacher in middle school? What made them great? Questions that could really allow you to get to know them, and in a manner that might get these folks in your life to actually open up. So they get these questions, they email back their response, you get a copy so that there's something exciting in your inbox besides 300 emails from a restaurant you went to once in 2015, yes, I'm talking about myself mostly, and then after a year, Storyworth compiles all of those stories into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. I mean, Mother's Day is coming up, and my mom, famously difficult to shop for, but with Storyworth, I can learn something about her besides her favorite food? I mean, crab cakes, I know that, but I really didn't know much else about my mom, which is why Storyworth is ideal. And then, when she gets that hardcover book, like a tailored to her autobiography, hoo boy, gotta tell ya, parents love personalized books. It's a fact. So, give all the moms in quotes in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/couples. That's storyworth.com/couples to save $10 on your first purchase.
Not, you know,
you,
what?
You try and flush a poodle.
It's not our business. What you do in the bathroom is right. Is that's all you.
Respect your life, respect your truth.
Yeah. Whether it's flushing a poodle.
See, also, I find Dave extremely funny, and I find it entertaining when he says things. So I think that's part of a good
thing. That's a good, yeah, that's
good
a key
thing.
But before, though, you did say that you guys didn't talk for like quite a while.
Oh, I made that part up.
Oh, totally. Oh. Well, yeah, you know what? Now I put everyone on break.
Everyone loves tension.
I do love
right?
tension.
You love tension, right?
I love tension. Yeah.
Hey, that was good of you. That was good, hon.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
But I think it's true. We know. We kept talking.
You were chill.
Yeah,
okay.
We were always.
Yeah, there was a lot of overlap. Yeah. I mean, I spent considerably more of my free time being drunk in bars in downtown LA during that period.
Right.
Yes.
More of that than, say, going to family stuff.
Wow, you could barely say the word.
You could barely. It was tough. It was laborious.
But even when my wife and I were separated, we used to do it. We did family vacations and vacationed with Paul and Jackie.
And it was less awkward than you think. It was fun. We had a good time.
Oh, because in my head, it's massively awkward.
Yeah, we went to Hawaii. I mean, we had a good time.
Yeah.
God, I love that.
Is it just that it's the beauty of Hawaii that papers over
it is.
The awkward?
That's all it was.
Yeah, it was really awkward, I guess, because Chrissy and I, that's my wife, Chrissy mm-hmm. Guerrero.
I love every time you name check your wife. Yeah, I'm like, yes, that is marriage. You better name check me
Jackie
on
Harris
all
Greenberg.
Platforms.
Sure. Yes. Say Jackie Harris
Jackie
Greenberg one
Harris
more time.
Jackie Harris Greenberg. Mm-hmm. You were talking about, you know, family vacay. So basically it sounds like once you guys were no longer in the workaday intensity of like trying to get this career stuff going, you got to be close. You didn't have that bullshit in the middle.
Well,
Dave was right. Dave, I mean, you know, You were right on. You were on news radio when you moved here.
I moved here to do news radio. Yeah.
And my sketch show, The Vacant Lot, was on Comedy Central even for a few years after I moved here. You know, they just kept playing it and playing it. Yeah. So it felt like we felt like this place liked us.
Mm-hmm.
A little more.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We felt like that. Felt like leaving was the right decision, and also we kind of felt we were on the in the same boat. You know, I mean, we're Canadians who felt better being here.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, it was something in common for sure. You know, and also the Largo, Dave mentioned the Largo time. That was a very exciting time.
Yeah, it was a great community of musicians and comedians. It was, you guys are too young to remember the original
Largo. It was when Largo used to be on Fairfax.
Yeah.
I know. Well,
it was steam driven.
I do remember we were just at Largo, at the Coronet one, but they still have the coal pile. From the old steam-driven one?
Yeah.
I was thinking about, like, when you were in Toronto, was the friendship a friendship of, like, well, we're in the same scene, and we have the same touch? Like, I'm thinking about when I was doing sketch in New York, there were other sketch groups, and I'm friendly with them, and I see them around, and we're still friendly, and I like them, and I can have a conversation with them, but there's no, like, deeper ties. Like, did you have deeper ties there?
Well, I think we felt like we were creating a new scene when we were doing.
It felt very new.
And I remember being there was no sketch comedy in New York back when I was going down there in the 80s.
No.
There really wasn't. I mean, there was
barely any in Toronto.
Yeah.
How often would you guys say you talk/get together, whether it's like in person or for long now?
Paul and I?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the podcast, but also
we just live a few blocks apart.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And again, we have that thing.
We have to phone each other at good night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
And we have wives who are always saying things like, you should call Paul.
Yeah. That's what mine says, too. Yeah. Call Dave. See what he's doing.
Yeah.
That is, so would you not do, because like Naomi is with constantly. The boy? Saying, like, you should call your friend. You should go hang out with your friend. Because if not, then I'll just, like, isolate and sit in our apartment.
Well, here's the thing that women do not understand about men's relationships. They are in no way predicated by having contact with each other.
None.
Yeah.
It's not necessary at all.
That's what I'm learning.
Yeah. It's
guys,
not necessary.
Guys don't need that.
Yeah.
They don't need that.
But you,
connection.
Like, think of someone and remember them and feel a fondness? I need you in my face.
Oh,
I need the updates.
No. Here's men will run into each other after years of not seeing each other,
it's like
and
happened.
They'll just start talking.
Mm-hmm.
Women run into each other after years, they'll want to catch up.
No, we don't want to catch up.
Men don't catch up.
We just want to know what's happening now.
Now, yeah. Where are we going? Yep. That's the only question men ask each other when they meet up.
That's right.
Where are we going?
Well, okay. Well, that's the thing, though. As three repressed white men, do you – like, as my friendships, as I get older and my friendships are deepening, I find it eerie. In a certain way, because it used to be like it would be my good friends and I, we would just make references to each other, like sketch comedy references or Simpsons references, and that was the entirety of our relationship.
Yeah.
And now that we've gone through like life events together, like deaths of parents and things like that, I feel like almost strange in having to have these like more emotional.
Okay, for the listener, Andy is hugging his chest.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm wrapping my hoodie and hugging my chest because it's a strange. It is odd for me to have these like deeper relationships.
Mm. You might want to consider ditching those friends.
Yeah, that sounds exhausting.
Yeah,
we the only thing that's changed, I think, is having families and stuff. Is now we make jokes about families.
Yes,
that's the difference.
Yeah,
but jokes are
more
your mode.
Different material.
Yeah,
but jokes are your mode. That
basically.
That is the through line.
Well, that's what's enjoyable about
life. Regular talking is what regular people do.
That ruins everything.
I love regular. Oh my God.
Ugh.
I've got to get regular with you.
If I
like do the jokes, because I find that Andy and your friend, like one of your really good, like, one of your childhood friends, we were visiting Andy's parents.
Name names. I want to hear names.
Josh. Andy and Josh were hanging and
they
were
Groban?
Just. Honestly, you guys would get along.
You
never met him,
Groban?
But I feel like him and Josh Groban would vibe.
You know what? I think he's a very sweet man.
You've met him, haven't you?
Yeah, I think he'd fit in your huggy group.
Is that like a brony?
Yeah.
Well, I believe you were going to talk about like basically what we did the entire time.
Well, you guys talking bits, and literally Andy's parents had gotten an Alexa, and they just spent hours asking the Alexa things. And I just, I maybe made it 10 minutes and was like, all right, bye. I very rarely feel like a wife in that regard, where I'm like, these guys are really good. I gotta go put lotion on my hands. You know, like I rarely have that feeling. And I feel like when you guys get together, there's like a mind meld going on where you guys get on your own plane and it's not for everyone else.
Yeah, it's bits. And that, but that, and that's it. It was
bits
our friendship.
Bits and tech sounds like bits and tech.
Bits and tech.
I'm in on this.
It was a friendship based on bits, and then, but as we got older, now we have like real emotions involved.
I don't have those.
Yeah, that sounds like a lack of discipline.
That sounds like you need to drink more.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. I don't drink, so maybe that's the problem. Yeah.
That'll get you there.
Yeah. I don't anymore. Either.
No, Dave doesn't drink anymore.
I quit drinking.
So would you say
the best part of Dave not drinking is I don't get hit.
Yeah. 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 And I don't have to ice my hand.
There it is. A win-win.
I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. Because it's all about him.
You want to take a quick break, Andy?
Why not?
Another one.
Yes. Wow. Wait, say something dramatic and then we'll take a break.
All right, I'll explain what went wrong in my childhood.
Uh-oh, we'll be right back.
And we'll be right back with some dramatic childhood stories.
The 27 Club is a podcast about famous musicians who died prematurely and sometimes mysteriously at the age of 27. Season 2 launches June 18th, 2020, and this new serialized podcast is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator and host of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. My new show covers the lives and sometimes mysterious deaths of famous musicians who died at the too soon age of 27. Season 2 features Jim Morrison of The Doors, an artist whose short career burned fast and refused to fade away. Jim lived a life of fantasy and a life that was fascinating, highly dramatic, and filled with great music and wild exploits. Just like Jimi Hendrix, the subject of Season 1 of the 27 Club. And just like Kurt Cobain, Janis Joplin, The Grateful Dead's Pigpen, Robert Johnson, Amy Winehouse, and The Rolling Stones' Brian Jones. All of whom will be covered in future seasons of the 27 Club. Season 2 of the 27 Club podcast on Jim Morrison premieres on June 18th, 2020. The 27 Club contains adult content and explicit language. You can listen to the 27 Club on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back on Edge.
Okay. That energy.
I'm trying to bring that. And we're back energy. Paul, again, in the bathroom for so many minutes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know
this
what?
This time I think he was bathing, though.
Yeah.
So.
By the way, avocado bubble bath is lovely in there.
I hope there's another break.
Yeah. I'll say your skin's glowing now.
Thank you.
So I appreciate the time you took.
You millennials love your avocados.
And I loofah.
Wait, so before the break, we're going to get into your childhood.
There we go.
Let me tell you about it.
And it begins.
Oh, parents.
No, wait, how did
good.
You guys, do you remember how you guys first met? Do you remember what the first meeting was?
No, I don't.
Did you?
You probably come down to the Rivoli.
Yeah.
Because I didn't come because
no, Scott, Kevin, Scott and Mark came.
Scott and Mark came. They saw your show.
They forced you
to let Nick be in the group.
Exactly. And, Mark said, you know what? I have a brother. And that's all that took.
Yeah.
And it was great. You know, Nick McKinney was in our troop. But yes, you couldn't make it for some reason.
I didn't want to go.
That's what it was.
I think that was
yes.
it.
Yes. Wait, so you both have children.
Yes.
We do. Not each other.
Not together.
Right. Yeah. Not together. But now, are the kids same age or similar ages?
Almost. I mean, Donovan is, how old is Donovan
17.
Now? 17. My daughter's just about to turn 16.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're very close. And we all went bowling yesterday. It was a lot
of
fun.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Went to a big
birthday
party.
Into the suburban realness. Yes.
Oh, yeah. We went down to downtown Disney.
Because I think what you're getting is like when your families are involved now in your friendship.
In the bits.
Yeah.
Like, are they part of the bits? Like, what? Like,
if the basis of the friendship is bits.
Well,
basis of your of being buddies is bits. To
you
alliterate.
Know, yeah. My wife is a comedian.
Yeah.
And Chrissy Guerrero is hilarious.
Yes.
And together,
and our
I think
kids are funny.
Kids are funny, definitely.
Well, they have to be.
Yeah.
Quite
I think.
Honestly.
Well, if they want to stay in the house.
Hello.
Yeah.
They want a hot meal.
I think part of the
come on.
Make me laugh.
Part
I
of
want
the requirement
10 punchlines before you get your dessert.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically how we relate is all trying. We try to be funny.
Yeah. Well, you know? Our kids have been in like the shows that Chrissy puts on the CNC comedy shows, variety shows that she does every few times a year.
Your daughter sings and
And Donovan does sketches with
you. Yeah, we do a sketch and we bring Donovan into it and he's hilarious in it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of like the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so tender.
Very different from my upbringing.
Yes. Yes.
Wait, what was your, how did you guys relate to your parents? Like, how was this different from the way that you related to your parents?
Well, I've never met Paul's parents.
No. My dad, my parents are dead.
Mine too.
Yeah, are they?
Oh, it's so sweet.
Oh my God, we're orphans.
Isn't it funny that you guys just find it out now? Because with all the bits, you never really got to your background.
Well, you know, I think you don't like to pry.
Yeah. 30 years in. That's let it be.
It's always nice to find out new things about somebody, too, isn't it?
That was always, my mother was English and she just said, don't pry.
Yeah.
Mind your own business.
Yeah. Well, my dad passed away when I was pretty young. And then my mother, she was right into me going into show business, which was odd.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
She was very into it. But I don't know if your parents felt the same about you if they noticed.
I think they were confused. My mom was very excited when I was in Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, yeah.
The Tom Selleck movie in 1985.
You were the baby.
I played the baby. but I had one scene in that. I was in one scene and I had one line with Tom Selleck. And I'm pretty sure that's the only time my mom was ever impressed that I was in show business.
Yeah.
She loved Tom Selleck.
Yep. Yeah. I feel that.
And rightly so. He's a delightful man. Cannot say enough nice things about Tom Selleck.
You see, my mother was always like, that's interesting, your job. You know, like I'd do something. And then Jackie, my wife, would do a commercial. And she'd be like, oh my God, you're on TV.
That's no matter what my accomplishments are, it's only when you can see my face on TV are my parents.
Has to be
impressed.
A commercial in our house.
But to be fair, the other stuff doesn't
Jackie
matter.
Jackie was a superstar.
Only television counts. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I mean, everything else is just waiting for life to start. Sometimes I think about all the people in the world that aren't on television, and it makes me weep.
I know.
It makes me weep out loud.
We all deserve to be.
That's why this age is so great, because any schmo can eventually be on TV.
Have a podcast.
Yeah.
Like us.
Yeah, we have one of those, too. Yeah.
Literally three podcasts between us at this table.
Yeah.
Oh, right? You've got two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys have the one.
We just have the one between us. Yeah.
No, but that's, honestly, you have to start somewhere. You have a lot going on.
Yeah. It's actually mandated if you live in Los Angeles. You have to have a podcast. And
Well, we don't want to get deported, so we better have
We must.
I mean, in this political climate, you got to walk the straight and narrow if you want to stay in this country.
Yeah.
If that means having a podcast, then you have to have a podcast.
Can I say the name of our podcast?
You must.
Sure, yes.
Don't Say with Paul and Dave.
Yeah. And it's on podcasting devices.
Did
and
you
go
it's
to
called,
Don't Say with Paul and Dave.
That's
com.
The cleaned up TV. That's like the
Don't say the C word.
No, you have to. You have to listen to hear the actual title.
Yeah,
but did you? But like, so wait, is there? If I can redirect, is that what lawyers do?
Sure.
Can I take this on on redirect? I've watched many seasons of The Good Wife and now The Good Fight.
Right.
Uh-huh.
On CBS All Access.
Thank you for plugging that.
You should watch The Good Place, too.
Yeah. The Fight Wife.
Anything with wife, good, in the title. Wife or good in the title.
So you're a huge Matthew Good fan.
Yes.
All right.
He is good. You just put his face in my head. Yeah.
Good is great.
Yeah.
Good with an E. Continue. Mm. What are you going to redirect?
I lost my train of thought.
That's
how good defense attorneys work.
Yeah. That's right. You're just, that's a trick.
Yeah. We just rope-a-doped you.
Did you find it?
No, I lost it again.
Damn
Come
it.
On, yep. Andy. Jeez, mm-hmm. Louise.
Let's just talk about Good Wife plots.
Yeah, you can tie this up. You can tighten this up in editing so, so that you seem more cogent.
Yeah. Are there certain things, like the way that my friend Josh and I, we will just talk in references to TV we've seen. Are there certain shows or certain movies or something that is a basis of your friendship like that where you will just start talking in that language?
I don't think so.
No, we have a lot of shared history.
I don't believe we share, you know,
we like the same movies, but not all the same movies. We have different... Mm-hmm. We're quite different in some ways, and I think that's what makes it
Paul, tell me the ways.
How are we different?
I mean, because it does feel like I sense this wavelength, this BFF vibe. You know what I mean? Canadian tenderness. We got away and said, "LA, baby." You know, a similar mildness, tenderness, mellowness.
Mild, we're both tenderness. Fairly, yeah.
We're both very tender.
You're very tender.
Yeah, and mild, and we are mild mannered,
do you fight? Have you ever had a fight?
No.
Has there ever been like a fight?
I don't think we've ever had a fight.
No, we've never had a fight.
No.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Not one. I think we are both fans of classic comedy. You know?
Yeah.
Definitely. Our choices of comedy go back in time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
To the 20s. Before.
To the teens. That's almost no exaggeration.
No, it is. Yeah.
You know,
back to silent film.
We love silent movies.
It's like Marx Brothers.
Yeah. Well, those aren't
they
silent.
Were
we love.
why are we even here, Paul?
We love Chaplin and Buster Keaton and those. You know, he hates Chaplin, but I like Chaplin.
I don't hate Chaplin. I just
like
Buster Keaton.
Okay, let's not get into that. I guess we did have a fight.
I just like Buster Keaton more.
First
oh my God,
fight,
our first
fight.
It's not hating. Liking Keaton more doesn't mean I hate Chaplin.
Yeah,
I love Chaplin.
No, but it's true. It's true. We do like kind of the origins of modern comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're technicians in a lot of ways.
Yes.
I think we both love the actual structure,
physical
and skills.
We have definitely a love of physical comedy.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of people think that way anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
As much as they used to, you know.
Yeah. A really good physical gag is beautifully structured.
It's perfect.
It's just a great thing to watch.
Yes.
You know,
because it translates everywhere.
And people don't know that it's not just falling down. It is about it's about building attention to the fall and what comes after the fall. It's a very beautifully structured thing, a good fall.
Yes. And if you knew how hard those guys used to work on that perfect timing of that thing, you know, it's like it's a lost thing. It doesn't really – I don't think people really do it very much anymore.
Yeah.
They don't think about it, you know.
Except for those
is there any physical comedy anymore?
Johnny Knoxville. That's the last.
But that was like,
that
was
the
almost
closest the world came to physical comedy.
Remember how hard that would make you laugh when
Jackass?
Johnny Knoxville
Jackass,
would hurt
Jackass, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm too squeamish to watch it.
I never watched it. I don't like people getting hurt.
Yeah. I'm too empathetic because then I feel it in my body. Yeah.
And again, hugging himself with his hoodie.
Yeah.
I actually worked on it.
Yeah, on Jackass?
Season and the movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I wrote wrote things for the second season and they ended up in the movie. Yeah, so thinking of, hey, let's see what happens when this guy hits himself in the nuts with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Wait, is that real? Did that actually happen?
Oh, much worse than that.
Yeah. Oh, no.
There's who still has nuts? We've got more filming to do.
Exactly.
God, I'm sweating.
Yeah. Johnny Knoxville's all over the Bogdanovich Buster Keaton documentary.
What do you
really?
Is he a Buster Keaton fan?
I think he is.
I didn't know that.
And I think it was also a way for Bogdanovich to try and bring the young folk in. And by young folk, I mean the people in their 40s and 50s.
50-year-old Johnny Knoxville.
Fans.
That's the young folk.
That's the people who aren't dead yet, folks. And that's young folks to me.
Wow. That's amazing.
Who's the other guy? Harold Lloyd? Is that his name?
Yes. Harold Lloyd was the third of the great geniuses.
The third of the great.
Harold Lloyd was an absolute genius.
Yeah.
He was missing some digits.
He had a finger
blown
off in a gag.
And he wore a fake hand.
Yeah.
So he's the original Jackass.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
He blew his index finger off while doing a gag in one of his movies.
So a lot of people might know the image of a guy hanging off a clock over a city street.
Yes.
That's him.
Mm-hmm.
That's but he was doing that with a fake hand.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he was an amazing guy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the cause. The cause of comedy. It's a cause.
It is. Would you? We're wrapping up, but would you give
we're
up a
finger?
We're
not going anywhere.
Would you give up a finger for comedy, Naomi?
It's funny because I actually did a show recently with a comic who was missing a finger, and she talked about, but she like didn't tell it, didn't talk about it to the end, and then was kind of vague. And I was like, "Give me the full finger story. I want to know the whole story of how you lost this finger." And I thought about it, and like.
The Full Finger Story is one of my favorite porn films as well.
When I said it, I was like, ooh, it's got connotations.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, this, I was like, you got to tell me. And I mean, she didn't, and I thought, I was like, huh.
I got the full finger story my first night in prison.
You went to prison a lot.
I'm sorry.
It happened a lot that you kept going to prison.
I don't like paying taxes.
Who does?
Mm-hmm.
Tax season is now.
Oh, let's
We're right
there.
In it.
You got to stay in the U.S. You got to stay in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, thank you so much for being
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel? How do you feel?
I feel good about it.
You said you were tired. I feel closer to Dave now.
Yeah. Because I'm not happy about that part. But,
we did poke at certain things, and I'm wondering how you...
Did we answer your questions properly today? I don't know if we...
There's no right answers.
Okay, good.
No, it's again, it's about an open heart, a loose butt.
There are no right answers. There are only good evasions.
That seems like a good one. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
My name is Kimberly Drew. If I've learned anything in my years of studying and uplifting Black artists, it's that we all have the power to create something beautiful. That's why I'm pleased to introduce you to people who have broken down boundaries in fencing and helped to create the first ever smart store. They're a big deal, and it's time we give them our attention. Listen to Your Attention, Please, a Hulu podcast with iHeartRadio on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's inspired by Your Attention, Please, now streaming on Hulu. Watch for a fresh point of view on Black history.
The 27 Club is a podcast about famous musicians who died prematurely and sometimes mysteriously at the age of 27. This podcast is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator and host of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Season 2 of The 27 Club launches June 18th, 2020, with 12 episodes on the life and death of Jim Morrison of The Doors. The 27 Club contains adult content and explicit language. You can listen to The 27 Club on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.